get started.
Oh, we're ready?
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay. Okay, so thank you all for coming. Thank you to the Begners. Pleasure to be here. So I want to talk a little bit. I know we spoke on Shabbos. For whoever wasn't sure, we spoke about Lag BaOmer during davening. But I want to speak a little about a different aspect, a different angle into Lag BaOmer. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who is one of the early rabbis in the times of the Gemara, he is sort of the character of, or one of the characters of Lag BaOmer, which is tomorrow night. The other is Rabbi Akiva. There's a lot going on with Lag BaOmer, which is what we spoke about on Shabbos. So I want to talk about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and the unique perspective and unique insight into Judaism that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai gives us. And what I want to talk about tonight is something very basic, similar to last week in that sense, very basic, but I think this is extremely crucial. I think it's one of the most important foundations, one of the most important perspectives to have as a Jew, trying to live a Jewish life. And the question that I want to start with and get back to towards the end is, in Judaism, how do you measure success? How do you measure success? What's the definition of being a good Jew? Of how do you know when you're doing it right? How do you know if you're doing well? How do you measure success? So I think that's a really important question and a really important perspective that I want to try and bring out, which is something that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai brought into the world. So let's look at the sources together. This source sheet looks a little bit scary. It's a lot of Gemara, a lot more text than usual, but it's all stories. This is not a halachic Gemara. These are all stories. So we're going to read them together, and you can either just listen or follow along, but don't be overwhelmed. It's a lot of stories on here. So source number one, this is the story, the Gemara about Lag BaOmer. So the background to this Gemara is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is being persecuted by the government. He is running for his life. They're out to kill him. A whole background as to why. And the Gemara picks up and says, "Azlu tashu b'marasa." So they, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son ran away and they hid in a cave. Israchish nisa ivri lehu charuva ve'ina demaya. So there was a nace, a miracle that was performed for them. And by this cave that they were hiding in, there was a carob tree, I think it is, and water. That was a water fountain of some sort that was miraculously just appeared for them to sustain on, to live on. V'havu mishalchu menayhu, v'havu yasvu atzav arayhu b'chala. They sat all day in their in the sand, in the dirt, up to their necks. Kula yoma garsin. They were learning together. The Misora, the tradition is that this is where Rishon Bar Yochai developed the Zohar, was while he was hiding in this cave. The idan sluye lavshu michsu matzlu. Okay, so they would put on their clothing to, they were trying to sort of preserve their clothing by not wearing them too much. That's why they were in the sand, in the dirt, so that they wouldn't be wearing their clothing all day and they would get worn out. But then when they would have to daven, they would come out of the sand, put on their clothing, and daven. V'hadar mishalchu manayhu kihechid lelivlo. And they would take them back off and go in the sand as to not wear out the clothing. Isvu tresar shani b'marasa. They lived in this cave in these circumstances for 12 years. Asa Eliyahu, v'kama pischa d'marasa. Eliyahu Anabi came to the entrance of the cave. Amar man lo de'e levar yochai demis kesar ubatel gzirte. Who should tell Bar Yochai, who should tell Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that the gzeira, the persecution, the decree against him for his life is over. Nafku. So they left the cave. So basically, in a nutshell, what happened? They ran away into this cave because they were being persecuted. They found out the persecution's over, so they went out of the cave. Chazu inshu de kakarvi vizari. They saw people, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son, saw people plowing and working a field. Amar manichen chayi olam v'oskin b'chayisha. They said, in exclamatory way, they said, these people are leaving the eternal life, the eternal world of learning Torah, and they're being osik, they're involving themselves, engaging in fleeting pursuits, such as working the land. Kol makom shenosnen einehem. So anywhere that they look, to Rishon Bar Yochai's son, anywhere they put their eyes, they set their gaze upon me, yad nisraf. It burned up in flames. Yatisa bas kol v'amr lahem. Lahachriv olami yatsasem. Did you leave the cave? A heavenly voice commanded, said, did you leave the cave to destroy my world? Did you come to destroy my world? Chizru l'marasam. Go back into the cave. So after 12 years, they come out of the cave. They're destroying everything in their sight. They kind of have a negative outlook, I guess you could call it, on some level, about what people around them are doing, what they're involved in. and they are told by God to go back into the cave. Don't destroy my world. Get back in the cave. Hader Azar. So they went back in. Isru Tresar Yarchisha. So they stayed there for 12 more years. Amri Mishbar Rishon BeGehenim Shneimasar Chodesh. That to be in Gehenim is for 12 months. Yatzus Abaskol VeAmru Seumim Mirastam. So another heavenly voice came out and said, "Okay, now it's time for you to go back out into the world. Let's give you another chance. Go back out into the world." Nafku. So they went outside. Kohech Adahavim Machi Rabbi Elazar. Havu Masi Rabbi Shimon. Wherever Rabbi Elazar, that's the son, would look, would also get broken somehow, get destroyed. Something negative would happen, and then Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai would look at it, and he would fix it. And he would fix it. Amar lo. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said to his son, "Bini, my son, Dai lo olam ani va'ata. You and I, with our learning, can sustain the world. Bahadi panya demali shabsa chazu hahu saba." This is the part I want to focus on. So then they saw, and just remember the process of anything that's going on here, they saw someone on Erev Shabbos, on Friday, Nakit Trey Medani Asa. He was running with two sorts of flowers, I think. I don't remember the exact translation, maybe olive trees, but two different branches. V'rahit Ben Hashmashos, and he was running. He was running very fast, right before Shabbos. It was minutes before Shabbos, like we all, every Friday, right? It's the mad dash right before Shabbos, the mad rush. So he was running with these branches right before Shabbos. Amrulei. So they said to him, Mishim Bar Yochai said to this Jew that they saw running before Shabbos, "Hani Lamalach, why do you have these two branches? Why are you running? Where are you going?" Amar Lahu, this person said back to them, "Lachavut Shabbos, I'm running to honor Shabbos, I'm taking these branches to honor Shabbos." V'tiski Lach B'chad. So they said to him, "Okay, so one should be enough. Why do you have two? One is enough to honor Shabbos. It's to adorn Shabbos." So he said to them, "Chad Keneged Zachar. One of them is for Zachor, v'chad keneged Shamar. One is for Shamar." We know that on Shabbos, there's two aspects to Shabbos. One is the things we don't do, that's called Shamar, guarding Shabbos. And the other is Zachor, is the positive aspects of Shabbos, the active things we do, like making Kiddush, etc. So he said, one of these branches is to adorn each aspect of Shabbos. One of them for the positive things we're supposed to do, and one of them to adorn the things we refrain from doing. Amar Lei, Lebrei. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, "Chazi kama chavivin mitzvos al Yisrael. You see how dear, how beloved mitzvos are to the Jewish people." Yosef datai, and they were both happy. They were both appeased. They were both found a sweet spot, a pleasant feeling, a pleasant outlook. So what we see in this story is a change in the way that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai saw things. We see a shift in his perspective. He starts out coming out of the cave with a judgmental view, let's call it, of the things that are going on around him, the people and what they're doing. He's upset to see that people aren't studying Torah more and that they're involved in worldly pursuits. And then he goes back in the cave and he comes out and he sees things in a different light. He sees a Jew, a simple person, running with different branches, not doing anything spectacular, nothing out of the ordinary, nothing amazing, but he sees a simple act of a mitzvah, and he sees that in a deep way. He sees that in a profound way, in a way that he appreciates, and that he cherishes the little simple acts of the simple Jew and what they're doing. And this is what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai brings to the world on Lag BaOmer, is this way of seeing things, as small, simple things that seem ordinary, but are actually massive, that are actually deep, that are actually extremely significant and extremely meaningful. And I want to try and develop this a little bit more and talk about this perspective that we can all glean from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai on how to see the small things we do, every little thing we do on a day in and day out level, as something that's very significant, something that's very meaningful, and not sort of cutting ourselves short by thinking that things have to be on a certain level, but that wherever we are, the places that we're in, what we're up to, our challenges, that is what Hashem wants. That's what's meaningful, that's what's significant. Not trying to be something beyond us and not holding ourselves back by feeling that what we're doing is insignificant. That's a Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's perspective that he teaches us to have. So let's look at that a little bit more. And please feel free to speak up, put in any two cents, any comments. So if you look at the second Gemara, there's another story about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and I think this fits very nicely. It's nice to develop sort of the personality through different stories that we know about him. So the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, we're going to skip most of this source, so don't worry. Kishenichnesu Rabboseinu leKerem B'Yavne Amru. When the rabbis got to Kerem B'Yavne, there's a certain place, anyone's familiar with the Yeshiva KBY, Karen Biavna, so it's the same place. They said, what was that? Oh, okay. So yeah, so the same place. So Amru, they said, the rabbis then said, Asida Torah shetishtakach mi Yisrael. Torah is going to be forgotten by the Jewish people. We're going to forget all the Torah. A wild statement. Shenamar, right? And they bring a pasuk. The pasuk says, Hine yamim ba'im nu'um Hashem Elokim. V'hishlachti ra'av baretz. Days are going to come, says God. I'm going to send a famine to the world. Lo ra'av lelechem, not a famine of wanting bread. V'lot sama lamayim, and not of being thirsty for water. Kiim l'shmo es divrei Hashem, but to hear the word of God. People sing this song in as a positive song about people wanting Torah, but it's actually, it's actually a pasuk describing that the world one day is not going to have any Torah. So people are going to be thirsting for it in the sense that there's not going to be any of it. So they say, you see in this pasuk, that Torah is going to be forgotten from the Jewish people. That's what the rabbis at the time said, okay, which is a wild, radical statement. If you look, skip all the way to the end, the third line from the bottom, maybe someone wants to read for us, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, smack in the middle of the line, and the third line from the bottom of that source. All right. You got it?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Chas v'shalom, shetishakach Torah Mi'Israel, shenemar ki lo tishakach mipi zar'o. Elama, ani mekayem yeshotetu levakesh et dvar Hashem v'lo yimatzu. Shelo yimtzu halacha brura u'mishna brura b'makom echad.
Okay, good. You want to translate it?
Sure, I could. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, God forbid that the Torah should be forgotten from Israel, because it says that the Torah, it says it shall not be forgotten from his soul.
So what do we do with the pasuk that they learned that Torah will be forgotten? Meaning this is, so Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that, God forbid, Torah could never be completely forgotten from the Jewish people. There's no way that could ever happen. The pasuk says they're never going to forget. So then he says, but the rabbis in Karen Biavna, who started off this Gemara, they had a pasuk, they had a verse which said that the Torah is going to be forgotten. It's not like they made this up out of nowhere. They didn't want to say the Torah is being forgotten. It's not something the rabbis are looking forward to. They had a pasuk that said that it's a prophecy. One day, Torah is being forgotten. So that's why they said that. So, but Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is saying that can't be. There's no way that's possible. I have a different pasuk that says it won't ever be forgotten. So what do I do with the verse that the proof that they had? They proved from a verse that there's a prophecy it will be forgotten. So what do I do with that, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says? So he says, what does it mean that it will be forgotten? Shelo yimtzu halacha brura u'mishna brura b'makom echad. You won't find the halacha and its explanation clearly in one place. That's what it means, it'll be forgotten. But it won't actually be forgotten. It won't actually be forgotten, because God forbid it'll never be forgotten. But what it means that it'll be forgotten is that it won't be found together. I think Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is saying something here very, very important, very profound. Anyone have any suggestions? What does he mean? What does that mean? That you won't find, it won't be forgotten, but you won't find them together. You won't find all the parts of Torah together in one place, in one bundle. You won't have easy access to all of it together. What does that mean? Any thoughts?
I guess maybe that different people will take different pieces of it, and it will be disseminated kind of in a more of a diffusive kind of a way, instead of all being concentrated all in one place.
Yeah, awesome. Anything else? Any other ideas?
Searching for answers. They're not going to be able to find them all.
Mm-hmm.
There would be confusion or... I don't know.
Maybe people have more questions than they will answers.
Perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting,
It's so dynamic that there's no way it can all be in one place. It keeps expanding.
Yeah, so similar to what everyone's saying, but what I had thought, which is actually not what Rashi says in the Gemara, what I thought is exactly what Stu said. And I think it's a very important statement, and I think it fits, this is what I love about it, it fits perfectly with the first Gemara we saw by Shimon Yochai. He has a worldview which he's consistent in, namely that what he's saying is that Torah won't be forgotten. Why won't it be forgotten? Because through the collective of the Jewish people, we will have the Torah. In its unity. It'll be piecemeal. it'll be that different people have different things to contribute. This person's going to be carrying this piece of Torah that he or she contributes to the bigger group. And then this person has this, this piece, and this piece, and this piece. And no one's going to have the whole thing. You won't be able to just go to one place and access the whole thing. So the rabbis, the other rabbis, had a certain perspective that they thought there's going to be a diminishing of the stature of people who know the full Torah, who know the full comprehensive Torah. So they thought, so we're done. We're not going to have people like we used to have. We're not going to have those great giants. People still think like this today. What are we going to do? We don't have, you know, the people from yesterday. We don't have the people who we used to have, those great, great people, Rav Kook, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik. We don't have those people anymore, so we don't have Torah anymore. That's what they thought. But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who's the person who, remember, his second time coming out of the cave, is the person who realized that what the simple Jew is doing is significant. That's what he came out. That was the perspective he brought out of the cave the second time he came out of the cave. The first time, he didn't have an appreciation for the simple person. He only had an appreciation for someone who's kol kulo in Torah, who's entirely immersed in Torah. But his second time coming out of the cave, what he saw differently, what he opened his eyes, the Sfarim say that Lag Ba'omer, Lamed Gimel, is from the Pasuk Gal, which means to reveal. Gal Lag is the reverse. Gal Einai. Open my eyes. What Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai saw the second time coming out of the cave on Lag Bomer was he had a revelation, an exposure, an insight into seeing and what the simple person's doing is contributing in a significant and meaningful way. So he was the person who was able to say to the other rabbis, yes, the greats might diminish, but through the collective of the entire people, through the collective of the entire nation, we'll never lose the Torah. It might become a lot more piecemeal. It might be the person who you wouldn't expect to be able to contribute the piece of knowledge we need to have is going to be the person who's going to hold on to it. And sometimes they might not even know that they were the one holding on to it. We'll see an amazing story. I'll tell it to you outside now, actually. The Gemara in source number 6, we won't read it inside, but the Gemara in source number 6 tells us an amazing story, just as an illustration of the type of point that I'm trying to make here. That there was a certain Pesach that fell out on Shabbos. The first day of Pesach, Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos. Okay, so Erev Pesach, the day before Pesach, falls out on Shabbos, the 14th of Nisan. So you have to bring a korban when you had a Beis HaMikdash. And a korban, a sacrifice, the korban Pesach, would be a violation of Shabbos. So whenever we have these two mitzvos that overlap, there's always different rules and it's a very complicated area of halacha, which things override the other. So they forgot the halacha, this time period, this group of people living there. They forgot the halacha. What do you do when Erev Pesach, you have to bring the korban Pesach, falls out on Shabbos? What do you do? What's the halacha? Should you override Shabbos for the korban? Should you not?
No.
You shouldn't.
Override? No. Tadir below tadir, tadir korban.
Okay, so that's a good point. That is usually referring to sequence of things. That we usually invoke that principle for how to order when we're going to do two things. Which one should we do first? Right? Like, should we make Havdalah first or light Hanukkah candles first? But not in terms of something overriding something else. That's more in terms of something coming before something else. But okay.
It's similar to a bris milah. You know, if it's on Shabbos, you're still going to do it, even though it may be doing a malacha
right
on Shabbos.
Right.
So you have a specific commandment. You're supposed to do the Korban Pesach on that specific day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the bris is supposed to be on the eighth day.
Right, so the answer is that you do bring the Korban Pesach. The Gemara has a couple of different ways that it learns that out. You do bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. You override Shabbos to bring the Korban Pesach. So they didn't remember that halacha. They didn't know what to do. They weren't sure. And they remember that there's this rabbi who just came from Babel, from Babylonia, where many of the Batei Medrash in the time were, the schools of Torah learning were, and they asked him what to do, and he knew the answer, and he got angry at them that they forgot. They didn't know. He said, you didn't study properly. So it says that after he got angry at them for not studying properly, he forgot his Torah. After getting angry at them for not knowing and that he knew. So he forgot his Torah. It shows you something that's a very important lesson tangentially. But he, yeah, at them, yeah, exactly. That he said to them, you clearly didn't do what you needed to do to know the proper halacha. And it's your fault that you forgot. So he, in turn, forgot what he needed to know. So then it came about that they had another halachic question. Okay, and they went to ask him, and he didn't know because he forgot. So it's just a role reversal, right? So, but he said, if I'll read you the line, he said to them on the back of the page. He said, if you look three lines from the bottom of that top that top paragraph. Amar Lahem, he said to them, Halacha zu shamati v'shachachti. The question you're asking me, I don't want to get into details of what it was. I knew and I forgot. Ella, rather, Hanach Lahen li Yisrael, im ein neviyin hein b'nei neviyin hein. If the Jewish people, leave it to the Jews, if the Jewish people are not prophets, they're the sons of prophets, the children of prophets. Lemachar, the next day, he looked, Misha Pascho Tlev, Tochvo Vitzmaro, he looked at what people were doing. He just looked at the minhag, the custom, what were people doing, without asking a rabbi, without asking, just what were people doing at the time. If you look at the last line, Ra'a Maisa V'Niskar Halacha, he saw what people were doing, and he remembered the halacha. He said, now that I see them doing it, now that triggered my memory, I remember that's what my rabbis had taught me. The halacha I forgot, I saw you doing it the proper way, it triggered my memory, and I remember that's what I had been taught. So this is a beautiful example that the Torah will always be sustained. It'll always continue to exist and to thrive. But sometimes the rabbi will remember and the people will forget. Sometimes, and this is, I mean that figuratively, of rabbi and people, and sometimes the rabbi will forget and the people will remember. And halacha brura and mishnah brura einam b'makom echad. The Torah will never be forgotten, but it'll become piecemeal. And what does it mean for it to become piecemeal? What it means is that every person is carrying some piece of the Torah that is their continuation of our gift of having the Torah. And every person is contributing something. And what's even more amazing about this Gemara is that we don't even know which piece we're carrying. We don't know what it is that's been entrusted to us, and we're holding it up, but we don't realize which is our piece. The people in this story when he forgot the halacha and he saw what people were doing and that reminded him, they didn't know that they were going to be the ones who sustained it. They were just doing whatever they saw their parents doing, whatever they saw their grandparents doing. They didn't realize that they were going to be the ones who were going to continue the flourishing and sustaining this halacha. But it becomes spread out to every person to have their individual contribution in whatever way it is. And that's what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai teaches us. That's how he was the person who said, it'll never be forgotten, it'll just become spread out. Because that's the new perspective he had when he came out of that cave for the second time. There's a few other Gemaras that bring out this perspective even more, and from different angles, and through different characters, so it's very important to realize who these characters were and where they all learned from. And I just want to put them together. And this is all speculative, because I'm right now going to sort of build a storyline of different people in the Gemara and who they learned from, based on what the Gemara tells us. But I just think it's cool to bring to life. Sometimes, at least for me, when I learn Gemara, sometimes the people in the Gemara are just names, right? It's just, this person said this, this person said this. But we don't actually get to know sort of the life and the character of the person. And sort of speculatively, I want to try and build an understanding, a knowledge of a few personalities, and more than that, a line of transmission from a certain rabbi to his certain students. You'll see what I mean in a second. So if you look at source number 3, Rabbi Meir says the following. Margala b'pumei de Rabbi Meir. It was a pearl in the mouth of Rabbi Meir. I mean, this is something he was very fond of saying. He said this all the time. Gamar b'chol levavcha uv'chol nafshecha ladas is darkai v'lishkot al dalsei torasi. Ladas is darki, excuse me. V'lishkot al dalsei torasi. With all your heart and all your soul, focus on knowing my ways and on coming to the doors of my Torah. Nitzor torasi bilvavcha bilibcha v'negedei necha tihiya yirasi. Okay, excuse me, sorry, one second. Let's keep going. Okay, sorry. I really wanted the next thing. If you go to the end of the second line. Margala b'fume derabanan diyavne. Ani birya v'chaveirai birya. I'm a person, and my friend is a person. Ani malachti be'ir. My work is in the city. V'hu malachto besadeh. His work is in the field. What does it mean, my work is in the city? It means I learn in the base medrash. Okay, that's what he means here. I'm studying Torah all day, and this person's working in the field all day. Ani mashkim l'malachti. I wake up in the morning to go to my work, to study, to learn Torah. V'hu mashkim l'malachto. And they get up, and this person gets up and goes to his work in the field. K'shem shehu eino miskadir b'malachti. Just like that person, my friend, my peer, doesn't sort of hold himself higher than me. Kach ani eini miskadir b'malachto. So too, I don't hold myself higher than his work. He doesn't hold himself higher than my work. He works in the field. I study Torah. We both appreciate each other. V'shema tomar, you might say, ani mar bevehu mamit. You might say, yeah, but I learn a lot and he learns very little, so I'm greater. Shaninu, but they say, echad hamarbe, v'echad hamamit, u'bilvad shichavin libo shamayim. One is the person who studies a lot, who learns a lot, and one is the person who studies a little. As long as they both have their hearts to Shemayim, they both are doing their best, they're both having intention to do this for God, to be close with Hashem, to do the right thing, so it's equal. We value, we appreciate both of them. Okay? If you look at who started this Gemara, it was Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was one of the five students, along with Rabbi Shmuel, with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who studied from who? From Rabbi Akiva. If you remember on Shabbos, wherever was there, we spoke about how Rabbi Akiva had all these students, 24,000 students died. He then found five new students who studied from Rabbi Akiva. Two of those students, one of them was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who we started with, who had this appreciation for the simple contributions of every person. And one of the other was Rabbi Meir, who said this statement that every person is valued, whether you're learning a lot or you're learning a little bit, as long as your heart is in the right place, as long as your intentions are good, what you're doing is valued. All coming from the same place, and we'll see soon, I want to build more of a perspective of where they got this all from. If you look at the next source, it's a similar statement. Amar Rebbe, Rebbe said, Rebbe is Rebbe Yehuda, Harbe Torah Lamadati Meirabosai. I learned a lot of Torah from my teachers. This is a fascinating statement. I learned a lot of Torah from my teachers. Mechavei Rayos Mehem. And from my friends, I learned even more than from my teachers. Umitalmidai, but from my students, Yosemi Kulan, I learned the most. Rabbi Yehuda, who said this statement, is a student of who? Anyone know? One of his main teachers was Rabbi Meir. Was Rabbi Meir. Meir is the one who just said this, the previous statement. Okay, who studied with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So they're all coming to this perspective. All coming to this perspective. Rabbi Yehuda here is saying, I learned the most from my students. Not from the great people, not from the teachers. I learned a lot from them. I learned a lot from my rabbinic colleagues. But who did I learn the most from? I learned the most from the masses, from the simple people, from the ordinary people, from the people I was teaching. That's who I learned the most from. So they're all sharing this perspective, building up the value, the worth, the contribution of the simple person. And where did this all come from? And this I think is very cool. Again, this is speculative. I'm just putting together different people who happen to learn from the same place. Where did they get this all from? From their teacher, from Rabbi Akiva. Why from Rabbi Akiva? So, the Gemara says in Pesachim that Rabbi Akiva, when he before, again, if you're familiar with the story of Rabbi Akiva until he was 40, didn't even know the alphabet. Okay, then he became the greatest Torah scholar in the whole world. Okay, he just studied one letter at a time and built himself up. Before that point, before 40, not only was he not a Torah scholar, but he was actually, the simple reading of the Gemara is that he actually hated the rabbis. He hated the rabbis. And the way most people understand that is to mean that he wasn't a observant person. These terms didn't exist back then, so it's like, I don't know how to use them exactly. He wasn't an Orthodox Jew. He wasn't a frum person, whatever that meant back then. Okay? But the Gemara says in Ksubos that this certain woman named Rachel, who he ends up marrying, saw Rabbi Akiva and saw that he was a good person and wanted to marry him. Okay? So Tosfos asks that it seems to be contradictory. On the one hand, the Gemara says that until he turned 40, he was just like way off. And then the Gemara in Ksubos says that she saw him and she thought that he was an upstanding, good Jew. So she wanted to marry him. So how do you reconcile those two things? So Tosfos says that we actually misunderstood the Gemara that says that he hated the rabbis. It doesn't mean that he wasn't a firm person, he wasn't a good person. It doesn't mean that. It means specifically that he just didn't like the rabbis. Not that overall he was bad. He didn't like the rabbis. Okay, why didn't he like the rabbis? Why didn't he like the rabbis? So look at this Tosfos. It's interesting. Source number 5 says, one second. If you look in the middle of the second line, it says Ikla Meimar. Anyone want to read? Middle of the second line, Ikla Meimar. Anyone? Steve, you want to read?
Ikla Meimar, the Hatam La Mishum Shahayat Sonei Tamide Chokamim, El Mishum Shahayat Sabur Shemetagin al Ami Haaretz, Yifnei Toratan, Vayu Tamidei Chachamim, Sonin Otan.
Okay, we'll stop there. So what does that mean? So he says, and give a shout, Shai.
He said that the Tamidei Chachamim were kind of looking down on the simple people.
Yeah. So Rabbi Akiva was what's called in the Gemara an Am Haaretz. The Am Haaretz are the people who didn't know much. The simple people, the people of the land. The people who weren't Talmidei Chacham, they were just simple people, didn't know that much, but were fine. So Rabbi Akiva, that's where Rabbi Akiva was. And Rabbi Akiva didn't like the rabbis. Why? Because they were misguided al Am Haaretz. They were haughty. He felt that they were too haughty. They held themselves above the Am Haaretz, the regular, ordinary people. Then Rabbi Akiva became the greatest Torah scholar in the world, the greatest rabbi in the world. But he was a person who first came from being an ordinary person, and he felt a dislike towards the attitude of the great Torah scholars, towards the ordinary people. So he had a sensitivity to this. He had a sensitivity towards what it means to be an ordinary person and how the rabbis should see ordinary people, the simple people. So Rabbi Akiva had that keen insight that maybe many of the other rabbis who maybe from an early age were a prodigy, from an early age were born into this sort of royalty, didn't have. So he had that perspective. And his students, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the person who he saw, who understood that the Jew running before Shabbos was coming to a very deep appreciation for Shabbos that he didn't even see. And then we saw Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the person who said that the Torah will never be lost. How will it never be lost? Through the collective of all the people carrying different pieces of Torah. And then we saw that Rabbi Meir, one of the other students of Rabbi Akiva, said that he doesn't hold himself above the ordinary people because he understands that I'm doing my thing and I'm doing my work and this person is doing their work, but we both have proper intentions. And then we saw Rebbe, who is the student of Rabbi Meir, so meaning in a sense the grand student of Rabbi Akiva, right, saying, I learned more from my students than from my rabbis. So all this to me comes together into this amazing package of building an understanding to the transmission, to the tradition that Rabbi Akiva started and initiated because of his unique background, his unique upbringing and biography that led him to have this unique insight into the ordinary person that he passed down to his students, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and they passed down to their student that we saw of Rabbi Yehuda. So with that, which I think is amazing, I want to look at a piece from Rav Kluger, Tzvi Kluger, I think, Avram Tzvi Kluger, in this Sefer, Yisrael Bechiri. And he talks there about what it means to be successful as a Jew. What does it mean to be a good Jew? Which is really the question that we opened up with, which is what all these people, all these stories in the Gemara are telling us is that it's not what you think. You might think that what it means is to be learned, super learned, to be learning as much as you possibly can all day, and to be in the Beis Medrash, and to be doing all these amazing things. But they're saying, no, no, no. You have to slow down and appreciate the ordinary people, appreciate the people of the land, the people who are working, the people who are contributing their contribution to the continuity of Torah in a way that we need that contribution. So let's look a little bit at this piece. It's the image on the back side. And it's just a short piece. It's very simple, but very, very deep, very profound and important. Yesh tachas HaShemesh on the right side column. There are under the sun, there's in the world, Beis Darkei Chaim, two ways of living, two ways of life. Pnimi v'chitzoni. There's an inside way and an outside way, an inner way and a superficial way. V'hanechshav shleimus v'hatzlacha v'olam ha'pnimi. What is considered whole and successful in the inner world, in the inside world, who inyan acher legamrei mehagdaras hashlemos v'hatzlocha v'om hachitzoni. It's an entirely different definition of success when you're talking about the inner world, the inner dimension of the world, and when you're talking about the superficial, external level of the world. Hamishalchem lifnei Hashem ba'artos achayim, those who walk in the living world before God, chayim b'histaklus hapnimis. They live with a perspective, with an outlook of the inner dimension. L'hachshavas hanechshav be'inei Hashem, to give value and significance to that which God gives significance. U'ki'ilu chayim kvar ba'alma da'asin. It's as if they already live in the world to come. Ki ne'ekru l'gamre mil'hachshavas minei ha'atzlachos, ha'gedolos v'hashlemos, hanechshavos be'inei ha'olam v'yosa. Because they don't care anymore about defining success the way that those who see the world superficially define success. V'omnam, einam nechshavim mutzlachim be'inei habrios. And even people who, to the outside eye, to an outsider, to the external view, might not look like they're anything of great meaning, anything of great success or great significance. Ach chayim ba'olam pnimi be'inam lekonam. But they live between themselves and their creator. V'zek kol chayim. And this is all of their life. Ma'aminim, and here's the key, be'yikras gemilos chesed shalahem be'inei Hashem. They believe in the how cherished, how beautiful, and how dear their act of chesed is in God's eyes. Af im ha'yisarak b'nesinas pruta l'tzdak. Even if it was just one pruta, one single dollar, one single coin. V'zukvar tavi simcha b'liman. That brings joy in their heart. Lima Torah shel eichos udveikos b'Hashem Yisbarach. Learning Torah of quality, not quantity, and of clinging and being close to Hashem. Af ki lo haya gadol b'kamos shavos odapin. Even if they didn't cover a lot of ground, they didn't learn a mesechta, they didn't spend 5 hours in the base medrash, but they learned for 2 minutes, but they learned in a way that was dear and that was meaningful and that was the best that they could do. Gorim lahem simcha kemotzei shal rav. It's as if for them they found an amazing treasure. Kol yegia b'hisrachkos min harav hiskarvos latov. Every step, every single effort, no matter how small it is, that is distancing yourself from the evil side, from things that weigh us down, v'hiskarvos latov, and a small incremental movement towards good, afilu b'kechut hasar, and if it's just as thin as anything, it's super thin, af ki adayin rachko min hashlemus, even if you're still very far from completion, nechsheves be'ineim ma'od, that is incredibly valued. Biyoda ma'yakar hama'ad hazeh be'inei Hashem yisbarach, because they know and they appreciate how cherished that is by Hashem. Chaim elu, this type of life, behistaklus pnimis, with an inner vision, behiskashlus letzadikim, and connecting to righteous people, yesh bahem simcha dekedusha, this is a holy joy, a holy happiness. Romamus ruach v'chedvas hanefesh, it exalts the spirit and brings joy to the soul. Simchas chayim, it's a happy life or pnimi, and an inner light, haruyim l'chol yehudi ba'asher hu, that is fitting for every Jew wherever they are. And if you just look at one more paragraph, skip down to the bottom left paragraph, he says something here that's just very important, and we're going to wrap up. L'zosi kare knisa amitis la'avodas Hashem ha'pnimis. This is how we enter being a good Jew, through an inner vision of the small things that are of quality. Shaharia yesh l'cha mishin is alam in hachitzonius el ha'pnimis. And here's the challenge, he says, and he has a very insightful comment, I think, here. The challenge is that very often when a person comes to Judaism, comes to Yiddishkeit, you bring with you a measuring stick, sort of a gauge of success, which is borrowed, which is developed from the outside world, from other areas of life. Right? If you are a sports player, right? So success, meaning it's nice to say, you know, A for effort, but it's not really true, right? Meaning it might be true to some degree, but it's not really true. If you're good, you're good. If you perform, you perform. And if not, not, right? In most jobs, that's the same way. In most students in school, that's the same way. I mean, the world tries to do its best, I think, sometimes, whatever it is, to sort of, you know, round that out. But in the end of the day, performance is performance, and effort and intention is just effort and intention. It doesn't really make up for lack of performance. So we come with that way of measuring success by performance and by success on the outside level, success in terms of product. That's how we gauge things. That's how we measure things. But what he's saying is that when it comes to a relationship with God, when it comes to defining success in Judaism, success as a Jew, success as a person who's trying to develop a relationship with God and as a servant of God, as a messenger of God in this world, so success is not defined by product. Success is defined by wherever you are connecting to the point of choice that you have and making the best choice you can for wherever you're holding, and whatever that means. And it might mean one thing for a person who's holding here and another thing for a person who's holding here. And each person has their point of choice. And if you make the best choice you can make, it doesn't matter what the quantity is, the quality of your contribution, however small it is, that's what defines success. That's what defines being a good Jew. So he says that the challenges, I won't read the rest of the Sabbath, but the challenges to be able to divide our measurement of success when it comes to Judaism from how we measure success in most pursuits in life. Because you have to realize that the ordinary person, wherever you're holding, is not so ordinary, not to be cliche, but is not just simple. Wherever you're holding is your mission, is your relationship with God that God cherishes and God values. And that's what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is teaching, and that's what all his colleagues, the different students of Rabbi Akiva, were teaching, is to value that. So I want to just end, as we have the past couple of times, at reading a small tefillah together, which is on the very bottom of the second page, that Rabbi Nachman did an amazing thing. He wrote many pieces of Torah, and he said, whenever you learn Torah, you have to turn your Torah into a tefillah. Because Torah is not just something cerebral up here, it's something that has to be your life. It's something that should influence you, something that should change you. It's not just a bunch of cool ideas and intellectual pursuit, it's something that actually should change you. So when you learn Torah, you turn it into a tefillah. You ask Hashem to help you with what you just learned. So there's a sefer called the Kutei Tefilos, and in every piece of Torah that Rabbi Nachman taught, there's a tefillah corresponding to that piece of Torah. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And I don't know of any other sort of rebbes or teachers or rabbis who did such a thing, but it's an amazing thing. So Rabbi Nachman has a piece of Torah similar to what we just talked about, and therefore there's a corresponding tefillah to this idea that I want to just read together and daven together. And as we've done in the past, that this tefillah should be as a schos for Refuah Shleima for Chaim Yonatan Mordechai Ben Pesha Elka and for Shar Chole Yisrael. So Rabbi Nachman's student writes the following. Azreini Ribono Shel Olam, help me, give me assistance, Master of the World. Mara da Al Makula, the Master of all worlds, of the whole world. Eske laharbos ma'od behispodidus ubesicha beini lebein koni, that I should merit to have an abundance of solitude and speech, conversation between me and you. An inner life, I should develop an inner private life just between me and you. Until it becomes revealed to me, and it becomes the light shines on the point of holiness, that spark that is deeply embedded in me, deeply rooted in me. Shehi bechinas tzadik moshel, that is on the level of a righteous person that rules over me. Kemosha Kasava Amech Kulam Tzadikim, as it says that your entire nation is tzadikim, that every person, even the ordinary person, has one point, one spark in them that is a tzadik, that is righteous. V'ezke l'kasher libi l'nekuda ha-kadosha hazos, v'kesher amitz v'chazak, and I should merit to connect myself, to tie myself to that point of holiness in a strong and stable and deep connection. Ad shetayr ha-nekuda ha-kadosha hazos mipi l'libi, until that point, that holy point, is lightened, the light shines on it, from my heart until from my mouth and through my heart. Asha yisgala or ha'ahava, until the light of love, ha'kidosha, that is holy, la'hashem yisbaracha mishreshes be, for Hashem, that is deeply, deeply rooted in me. This is the perspective that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai brought to the world, and specifically on Lag Ba'Omer, gala inai, that you should open my eyes to an inner life. An inner life is much more challenging because it doesn't have the glory, it doesn't have the satisfaction of public admiration, of public prestige, of people recognizing a certain level that you've achieved. But an inner life of every single person, of being wherever you're up to, whatever your choices are, of making that best choice you can, bilvad shiachav in libo l'shamayim, just with the proper intention. That's what's asked. That's what Rabbi Shimon taught, is that what's in your heart, if it's the proper intention, if you're the ordinary person, you're carrying a piece of Torah. Torah will never be forgotten from the Jewish people, because every single person is carrying one spark of that, one point, as Rabbi Nachman just spoke about and just davened for, that should be revealed to us, that should become exposed to us, that we should connect to in the deepest way. Thank you very much. Thank you again to the Viners.